Congress seems ready to reject the Defense Department's requests for another round of base realignments and closures for the fifth year in a row now. But the Air Force has decided to start its own process to determine how valuable each of its bases actually is to the missions it performs. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu reports.
The military value assessment is a step that DoD officials until now have been extremely reluctant to take because they worried it would bias any potential future BRAC round and make it look like the military was picking winners or losers. In each of the five rounds so far, an independent commission has made its own determinations about military value and used those judgments as one of the key criteria for which bases should remain open and which should be closed. But Richard Hartley, the principal deputy undersecretary of the Air Force for Installations, Environment, and Energy, says the Air Force can no longer wait to at least begin a process that would let it make better decisions about how to allocate military forces that have shrunk dramatically in the last decade and a half against a real estate portfolio that hasn't.
We're going to look at military value for installations, you know, not BRAC assessment, but understand where, get a better understanding of the military value of our installations so we can try to do more strategic thinking about what the value of these installations is and where we ought to invest our money. Don't know exactly how we're going to use this military value analysis yet, because what we don't want to do is we don't want to preempt the BRAC. We don't like that approach as much as a BRAC because A, it won't get at the kind of savings that a BRAC would get at, and B, it's not quite as transparent, and it doesn't bring in the objectivity that a BRAC commission does. So we want to go the BRAC route, but we can't assume we're going to be successful, so we've got to start to look at our infrastructure.
Each of the military services has already conducted some assessments of the amount of overall excess real estate they believe they have. The figure is 32% in the case of the Air Force. But those estimates have not tried to assess the military value each installation brings to the table for performing various types of missions. To get to those conclusions, Hartley says the Air Force will use a process similar to those that have been used by BRAC commissions since the first round in the early 1990s.
So we'll look at kind of mission utility. So where can, at base X, what kind of missions might lend themselves to that or be possible at that base? So that looks at things like geography, airspace, and things like that. So that's the first piece, is what kind of missions can you put at that base? The second piece then starts to look at things like airspace, land, and infrastructure and says, okay, now that I know I can run these missions at that base, how well equipped is that base to do that? So does it have access to airspace? Does it have munition storage facilities? Does it have enough land? So that's kind of the second component of it. Then the third component is accessibility to respond in a crisis and the access to training environment. So now that I have kind of the geography, now that I have the infrastructure, who gets me there faster? Who gets me to the training faster and more efficiently? Who gets me to the fight quicker? So that's kind of the third piece. And then the fourth piece is you look at cost. What are area cost factors?
Although Hartley emphasized that the Air Force has not decided what to do with the information churned out by the new analysis, the Defense Department does have some legal authorities to close installations outside of the BRAC process. And should it choose to employ those authorities, that sort of data would most likely come in handy. Employing those authorities would be sort of a nuclear option, but defense officials have previously said that they might sidestep the BRAC process by taking advantage of existing provisions in federal law which allow the Defense Secretary to close bases unilaterally after sending Congress detailed reports on the base's military value and the impact its closure would have on the local economy. A separate section in the same statute says any base can be closed if the President certifies that doing so is necessary, quote, for reasons of national security. Each of the military branches, the Air Force and Army in particular, have argued for several consecutive years that a combination of excess basing and severely declining funds for upkeep of those bases has created military readiness challenges, as insufficient maintenance led to water main breaks, electrical substation fires, and unusable runways. The Air Force estimates it has $23 billion in backlogged maintenance requests, but it spends the lion's share of its current year sustainment and modernization budget on responses to emergencies, including last month's order by the EPA that a drinking water well at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base be taken offline because high levels of a firefighting chemical were found in the base's water supply. Hartley says the Air Force simply can't afford to keep spending its shrinking maintenance budget on bases it no longer needs.
Many in Congress challenge the value of a BRAC for reasons I can understand. There's some fear that we'll rid ourselves of the excess capacity, we'll turn around and need it 5 years from now. We think we have an argument that to fend that off, and that never before in a BRAC have we gotten down below 20% excess capacity, so BRACs just don't drive at whittling all your excess capacity. So we think there'll be plenty left for any kind of growth that's needed in the future. I think the one that's a little more challenging is, does BRAC actually save money? We think it does. We have about $2 billion a year in savings that we across the department save from previous BRACs. But convincing everybody that the math is right is quite often a challenge. So those are the kind of things we have to continue to fend off. There's a lot more winners out of a BRAC than there are losers. And most importantly, I think the communities win and the airmen win, because we're not spreading these scarce infrastructure resources so thin across more enterprise, more infrastructure than we need.
Congressional views on BRAC have moderated somewhat since 2011, when DOD first requested another round. The 2016 Defense Authorization Bill included a provision that cracked the door to another BRAC by ordering DOD to conduct a comprehensive study of its basing needs compared to the military forces it had as of 2012, the point in time before each of the armed services began drawdowns that were brought on by the Budget Control Act. And last week, Congressman Adam Smith, the ranking Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee and one of Capitol Hill's few advocates for another base closure round, introduced legislation that would alter BRAC by emphasizing cost-cutting and increased congressional oversight as part of the process. He said he's aiming to overcome some of the most common arguments dealing with the most recent BRAC round in 2005, whose upfront costs were billions of dollars higher than originally estimated, and which only closed a handful of bases. Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Read Jared's story and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.